I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the history of Cyrus as a type for Trump. Ken Favor sent this parable of history to our attention, and since history repeats, I believe it will happen. The method is still going to be repentance and faith, and so we need to keep that in mind. This is the story of Cyrus and Babylon, and the history that's written on the Cyrus cylinder, and I'm going to share this with you. And some of this is from an article by Jonah Lendering. It's a history article about the history of Cyrus, not applying it to anybody else, just history. And he said on October 539 BCE, the Persian king Cyrus took Babylon, the ancient capital of an Oriental empire covering modern Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and part of Israel. In a broader sense, Babylon was the ancient world's capital of scholarship and science. The subject provinces soon recognized Cyrus as their legitimate ruler, since he was already lord of peripheral regions in modern Turkey and Iran and Afghanistan. Maybe so, I don't know. It is not exaggerated to say that the conquest of Babylonia meant the birth of a true world empire. The Achaemenid Empire was to last for more than two centuries, until it was divided by the successors of the Macedonian king Alexander the Great. A remarkable aspect of the capture of Babylon is the fact that Cyrus allowed the Jews who were exiled in Babylonia to return home. And of course, that was because it was time for them to rebuild the kingdom of God. And because their evil leaders, and then Babylon, destroyed it. Of course, God was behind that. He couldn't take any more of it, and he took it down. And so I believe we're in that position, you know. God is going to restore. Ken said, a confirmation from history that Cyrus was a ruler of a dragon, representing the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Cyrus, by the way, proclaimed that he was fighting for Marduk, who was called the Lord of Gods. Now, I want you to see the parable here. There's a type being used. Marduk was the chief god of Babylon. And just like Ahasuerus, who was a pagan king, represented the king of kings, whose bride, Esther, and man-child, Mordecai, ruled under him. In the same way, Marduk was spoken of as the Lord of the Gods. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. It says a type of our true God. Yes, God can use reverse types like this. He does all through the Bible. Daniel 2:47 says, the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings. So there you have it. And a revealer of secrets, seeing thou hast been able to reveal this secret. In 1 Timothy 6:15, which in its own times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. So you see, this guy can be a type here. Revelation 17:14, these shall war against the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And they also shall overcome that are with him, called and chosen and faithful. And there's no promise to folks that are not overcomers, by the way, saints. Now, this is a good time to overcome. We need God's favor. And it's not just the called that are chosen. It's the faithful that are chosen. There are many called, but few chosen. And the called, of course, represents not the call to the world. It represents the call being God's people. So, another point that Ken brought was Marduk's wife, Serpanet, I believe it is, means the Shining One. And I believe that she represents the Lampros garment of the bride, like in Revelation 19. And as did Esther, the Shining One. God puts little clues. And in that article, there was a picture of Marduk, a drawing of Marduk, along with the dragon. Marduk has with him, Ken said, a scaly reddish dragon with hind legs resembling the talons of an eagle, meaning the weapons of the United States. That's my thoughts. And a lion's forelegs. Lion, of course, is Britain. A long neck and tail. Horns on its head, like the head of Satan, the goat. A snake-like tongue. Well, I would say that's a forked tongue or a lying tongue. And a crest. And there is a picture of Marduk and this dragon. A drawing, I should say. and underneath the picture is Marduk and his snake dragon. And that was from Black and A. Green, Gods, Demons, and Symbols of Ancient Mesopotamia. Yeah. That's where the picture came from. And Nabonidus, representing Obama, Ken said, was the last king of Babylon, and he unsuccessfully attempted to introduce the worship of the moon god Sin, representing Islam. Very good. And that is certainly a good parallel there. It makes a lot of sense. By the way, these people were represented in the Bible even by a crescent moon. And today, that crescent is on Islamic nations' flags, almost all of them. Very interesting. And now, of course, Obama's bringing these into the United States. An invasion. Ken said the priests of Marduk were hostile toward him on account of this. Yes, because of this invasion. And as are the Christians in the United States against Obama invading the United States or Babylon with his moon god. He has a ring, by the way, that has on it, "There is no God but Allah." I don't know why a Christian would wear such a thing. That's obvious by now, I'm sure. Okay, back to the writing by Jonah. In this text, a clay cylinder, now in the British Museum, Cyrus describes how he conquers the old city. Nabonidus is considered a tyrant with these strange religious ideas, obviously, which causes the god Marduk to intervene. This is supposed to be the god of God, the king of kings here representing. That Cyrus thought of himself as chosen by a supreme God is confirmed by 2 Isaiah. I'll just read a little bit of that to you. Isaiah 44 and 26. That confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited, and the cities of Judah. So this is very important. I mean, obviously, to rebuild Jerusalem, the temple and so on, this has to happen. She shall be inhabited in the cities of Judah. They shall be built. And I will raise up the waste places. Of course, the people of God are waste places because they've been taken into captivity. What was true Christianity has been destroyed. Like I said, it was a combination of their own evil leaders, even today, and Babylon itself warring against them. That saith to the deep, be dry. I will dry up thy rivers. Of course, that's how Cyrus captured Babylon. He dried up the Euphrates River. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure. Well, you can say what you want about this pagan king, but the Lord chose him to bring this to pass. Even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. That is the beginning of the kingdom. That is the job that the man-child is being sent to do. And, of course, you remember the man-child in the book of Esther had to face off with Haman. Okay? Haman was killed, and the man-child was anointed. Isaiah 45 and 1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings, to open the doors before him, and the gates shall not be shut. So the Lord is giving him an open door. It's nothing that man could possibly do. It wasn't anything man could do in the days of Cyrus. God left those gates unlocked. He brought them through. He helped dry up the river. Although they worked on it, it was definitely God inspired and God helped, you know. I will go before thee and make the rough places smooth. All right. So God is making a path and making a path for Trump. I will break in pieces the doors of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that it is I, the Lord, who call thee by name, even the God of Israel. I remember Michael Hare had a dream of a certain Christian politician finding a pocket in the White House where the money was being siphoned off to do their bidding. He discovered the secret hiding place of the money. I believe that will come to pass. Because, you know, it says right here, the riches of secret places. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my chosen, I have called thee by thy name. I have summoned thee, though thou hast not known me. And, of course, this really impressed Cyrus that his name was written in the scriptures, I think almost a couple of hundred years before he came. And very interesting. It impressed him so much that he believed that this was God, that he was God. I am the Lord, and there is none else besides me. There is no God. I will gird thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord. There is none else. I form the light and create the darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am the Lord that doeth all these things. Distill, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, that it may bring forth salvation, and let it cause righteousness to spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. I believe he's probably talking about when Cyrus turned the people of God loose in Babylon to go back and rebuild the kingdom of God. And when I call it the kingdom of God, it was a type and a shadow of the real kingdom of God, which is happening in our day. The rebuilding of the kingdom of God under David. And King David, of course, is Jesus. But David also had a body, and that body was inhabited in type by Jesus. And there's a corporate body today like that, corporate body of David's, that the Lord is going to come in and do his bidding and do his work. Esther also is clear concerning Cyrus. Ezra, I should say, Ezra 1 and 1, it says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord, the God of heaven," he calls him, "given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whosoever there is among you of all of his people, his God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is God." And that was what Cyrus thought and believed. And I am convinced that Cyrus will believe that too. Of course, this is a little bit later here. This has not happened yet. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever is left in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver, with gold, and with goods, and with beasts, besides the freewill offering for the house of God which is in Jerusalem. So, Cyrus sent them, and he ordered the people around them to give them silver and gold, with goods, and with beasts. I know that there is a global currency revaluation that is going to infuse the banks with a lot of money. And I believe it's the only thing I can see out there that comes close to being what happened when the Israelites came out of Egypt. And the people around them were so impressed with their God, and also feared their God because of the judgments, that they gave them money to go into the wilderness with. So here you have it again. He's telling the men of his place to give silver and gold and goods with beasts. Amen. So this could give you a clue about when that global currency revaluation will actually happen. "Besides the freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem." So, "Then rose up the heads of fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, even all whose spirit God had stirred to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were round about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver and gold." You know, all they that were round about them. And with goods and with beasts and precious things. besides all that was willingly offered. There it is again. It could be the global currency revaluation. I don't know anything else that Christians have invested in that much. It's a really strange thing if you ask me. There are so many Christians invested in that. I do believe that they want to have their New World Order by bringing some parity to different countries' values. So, also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. Well, this is again a type of Cyrus sending these people back home. They are the vessels of the Lord. They are the valued ones. It's not just currencies that we're talking about here with these vessels. It's the value of the people. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. And Jonah went on to say, his claim that he entered the city without struggle corroborates the same statement in the Chronicle of Nabonidus. And the the Cyrus cylinder, of course, was a very prophetic thing. It was, of course, Cyrus bragging about his conquering of Babylon. And it's in the British Museum. And here's some of the things that are inscribed in the clay of that cylinder. 1-8. And it's skipping through here and giving pieces and portions. So I'm doing the same. When of the four quarters, an incompetent person, and here is, in other words, Nabonidus, was installed to exercise lordship over his country. And, of course, Ken has put this down, and I believe is correct, this incompetent person, as Obama. And he imposed upon them an imitation of Asagala, I'm trying to get it right, he made, and for Ur and the rest of the cultic centers, a ritual which was improper to them, an unholy display, offering, without fear, he daily recited. Irreverently, he put an end to the regular offerings. And, of course, Obama's done more to hinder Christianity than anybody before him. And he interfered in the cultic centers he established in the sacred centers. By his own plan, he did away with the worship of Marduk, the king of the gods. Yes, and of course, that fits him very well. He continually did evil against Marduk's city, the city of God, right? And I might say that for this offense of bringing in the moon god and corrupting the vessels of God's house, as is written in Daniel, Cyrus was given authority by the true God to easily take the city of Babylon, because he was given the favor of the people to do this. Sounds kind of like Trump, doesn't it? He has a lot of favor. And going on with the history here. And he went against the Marduk city daily. Without interruption, he imposed the corvi upon its inhabitants unrelentingly, ruining them all. Well, that fits pretty good too, because the corvi is a whole lot of labor for just a little or no pay, meaning the destruction of the economy and the value of the dollar course, this president has sit over that and printed and printed and printed, which is destroying the value of the dollar. So that fits good, too. Okay, reading on in the history here, Marduk's anger, 9 through 11. Upon hearing their cries, the Lord of the gods became furiously angry. Now, does this remind you of what God told Moses? It does me. It's almost a quote. He heard the cries of his people in bondage in Egypt. So there's a parallel there. We know how the Egyptian parallel ended before the wilderness. Pharaoh's army went down in the Red Sea. And Pharaoh himself, too, contrary to the movie. So, and their borders, the gods who lived among them forsook their dwellings, angry that he, that is, Nabonidus, had brought them to Babylon. Marduk, the exalted, the lord of the gods, turned towards all the habitations that were abandoned, and all the people of Sumer and Akkadia, I guess it would be, who had become corpses. He was reconciled and had mercy upon them. And of course, as the true God will have mercy on the people of God in Babylon. Amen. Marduk finds a new king for Babylon. Amen. So that's where we are now. 11 through 14. Marduk surveyed and looked throughout the lands, searching for a righteous king, his favorite. He called out his name, Cyrus, king of Anskaronan. Anskaronan. He pronounced his name to be king all over the world. Of course, you know who's king of the United States is pretty much the head of the beast empire. He made the land of Gatim and all the human Manda, in other words, the Medes, bow in submission at his feet. So it was the Medes and the Persians that conquered, you know, Babylon. And he, that is Cyrus, shepherded with justice and righteousness all the black-headed people over whom he, that is Marduk, had given him victory. Marduk, the great lord, guardian of his people, looked with gladness upon his good deeds and upright heart. And then history goes on to speak of Cyrus taking Babylon. And, of course, this is still a reading from the Cyrus cylinder, okay? 15 through 19. He ordered him to go to his city, Babylon. He set him on the road to Babylon, and like a companion and a friend, he went at his side. His vast army, whose number, like water of the river, cannot be known, marched at his side fully armed. And of course, as you can see, Trump's army is increasingly at his side and daily, despite the lying polls. We know the polls are lying. The Bible code tells us that they lied about the whole thing. And of course, that's okay. The reason, of course, for lying in the polls is not to impress people that she's popular. The reason is that they expect to steal the vote. And if you steal the vote when there's a really, really broad difference in the polls, everybody suspects it was stolen. So this is why they're doing this. And Trump knows that too. He made him to enter his city, Babylon, without fighting or battle. Very interesting. Now, we need to remember this, and I believe that this is probably going to come to pass because of of the people who are fighting the battle for Trump in the spirit. People who are lifting him up in the debates, so to speak, and praying, casting down witchcraft, which I believe Hillary is fully, fully capable of exercising, and so on. And a lot of the people that are with her, of course, they're crying out to their demon god to put Hillary in there, because we know Hillary's going to bring 400% more radical Muslims into the country, okay, and bring down the kingdom even more. It was without fighting or battle he saved Babylon from hardship. He delivered Nabonidus, the king, who did not revere him, into his hands. That is, into Trump's hands, into Cyrus's hands. And also, as Daniel said in that night that he died, the same thing. All the people of Babylon, all of the land of Sumer and Akkad, princes and governors, bowed to him and kissed his feet. They were glad to see him. They wanted their old god back, their real god back, in type and shadow. And they were glad to see this person go. They rejoiced at his kingship, and their faces shone. Lord, by whose aid the dead were revived, and who had all been redeemed from hardship and difficulty, they greeted him with gladness and praised his name. So, he got a good invite from the people. The people welcomed him. The people who were set free from Nabonidus, or Belshazzar, he's called in Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar, the last of the Babylonian kings. Just as those who seek deliverance from the moon god today are welcoming Trump, by the way. Daniel 5 and 23 says, "But hast lifted up thyself," that's Nabonidus, Belshazzar, Obama, "against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought, lifted up thyself," is very obvious. Very obvious. "And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine from them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hands thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified." And that's obvious too. "Then was the part of the hand sent from before him, and this writing was inscribed." And this is the writing that was inscribed. "Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin." This is the interpretation of the thing. "Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, under Cyrus, by the way, being about 62 years old. Okay, back to the history here. Share a little bit more history. Seems to be following pretty good, huh? And this is Cyrus's titles that he claims. 20 through 22a. I am Cyrus, king of the world. This is all, again, on the Cyrus cylinder. Great king, mighty king, king of Babylon, king of Sumer and Akkad, king of the four quarters, the son of Cambyses, great king, king of Ascaronon, grandson of Cyrus, great king, king of the Ascaronon, descendant of Thespes, great king, king of Ascaronon, of a eternal line of kingship, whose rule Bel and Nabu love, whose kingship they desire for their heart's pleasure. I don't think Trump is a bit bashful either. He's he'll learn somewhere down the road that it's God that put him there, right? Prince of Peace, this is entitled. And it fits very well. Very interesting. And that's 22b through 28. When I entered Babylon in a peaceful manner, I took up my lordly abode in the royal palace amidst rejoicing and happiness. They were glad to get rid of that guy. Marduk, the great lord, established as his fate for me a magnanimous heart of one who loves Babylon, and I daily attended to his worship. My vast army marched into Babylon in peace. I did not permit anyone to frighten the people of Sumer and Akkad. I sought the welfare of the city of Babylon and all its sacred centers, because he had taken care of that other unsacred thing. As for the citizens of Babylon, upon whom Nabonidus imposed a corvée, which was not the god's wish and not befitting them, I mean, he's printed and printed and printed and printed, you know, doing exactly what he's talking about here. More work, less pay. I relieved their wariness and freed them from their service. You know, if indeed this time is the time when the gold and silver is given to the people of God to rebuild their kingdom, wow. I mean, the banks obviously would get a jump, and there would be a change. Marduk, the great lord, rejoiced over my good deeds. He sent gracious blessing upon me, Cyrus, the king, who worships him, and upon Cambyses, the son, who is my offspring, and upon all my army. And in peace, before him, we moved around in friendship. All right. Religious measures. 28 through 33. By his exalted word, all the kings who sit upon thrones throughout the world, from the upper sea to the lower sea, in other words, from the Mediterranean Sea to the Persian Gulf, but I suspect it has more to do with America now, who live in the districts far off, the kings of the West, who dwell in tents, all of them, brought their heavy tribute before me, and in Babylon they kissed my feet. From Babylon to Ascaronon, another long name, and from Susa, Agaid, Ascaronon, Zamban, Me, Ternu, Dur, as far as the region of Gutim, the sacred centers on the other side of the Tigris, whose sanctuaries had been abandoned for a long time. Well, the people of God went into captivity, and of course, the kingdom of God came to waste, and of course, that's what they had to go back and rebuild. And the same here, the same situation here. The kingdom of God is in great disrepair. I returned the images of the gods who had resided there. In other words, in Babylon. He returned, well, did you know? I mean, obviously across the country, any kind of image of anything that had to do with Christ or whatever has been taken down, and the commandments taken down, and all this stuff has been taken down. And it sounds to me like this is going to be restored. To their places, and I let them dwell in eternal abodes. I gathered all their inhabitants and returned to them their dwellings. In addition, at the command of Marduk, the great Lord, I settled in their habitations in pleasing abodes. The gods of Sumer and Akkad, whom Nabonidus, to the anger of the Lord of the gods, had brought into Babylon. Yeah. This is Obama, who has brought into Babylon his moon god. And Cyrus, of course, returned Babylon to their god before Nabonidus brought in the moon god, right? So that's what he's returning here. So that makes sense, too, very much. Since he's favoring Christians, that he would take all the restraints off of them and so on. And, of course, Christians have been driven from their land into captivity in a very spiritual way through all of this. But the return is what he's talking about, and the return of their God. Cyrus's prayer, 34 through 36. May all the gods whom I settled in their sacred centers ask daily of Bel and Nebu that my days be long, and may they intercede for my welfare. May they say to Marduk, my lord, as for Cyrus the king who reveres you and Cambyses his son, Lacuna, the people of Babylon blessed my kingship, and I settled all the lands in peaceful abodes. And now building, after coming in, becoming king, history here speaks of the building. And it's talking about the building of the wall of Babylon, or the U.S., as Trump said he would do, right? Building the wall. 37 through 44. I daily increased the number offerings to geese, 2 ducks, 10 turtle doves, above the former offerings of geese, ducks, and turtle doves. Dur, Imgur, and Lil, the great wall of Babylon, its defense, I sought to strengthen. So, obviously, that's been one of Trump's main things to speak about, the wall of Babylon, strengthening the wall of Babylon. The quay wall of brick, which a former king had built, but had not completed its construction. Well, we know that's true, too. There's only portions of the wall here and there and here and there. And, of course, Trump has decided to build it all the way. So that really fits good. Who had not surrounded the city on the outside. And I might say, too, that I've said in Hidden Manna for the End Times that part of the wall of Babylon is its missiles. It's what keeps the enemies out, right? And, of course, Obama's done much, much to destroy the military, to tear down those walls. And to tear down their ability to fight war. And there's some great question whether they could even beat Russia in a war now. And which no former king had made, who a levy of workmen had led into of Babylon. With bitumen and bricks I built anew and completed their job. Magnificent gates I overlaid in copper. Thresholds and pivots of cast bronze I fixed in their doorways. An inscription with the name of Ascaron Scaron or Banipal, a king who had preceded me. I saw in the midst for eternity. So he restored. He restored Babylon, built its walls up, the people were happy, etc. Kenneth said this. He said, anyway, after taking Babylon, Cyrus the Great proclaimed himself king of Babylon, king of the four corners of the world. Cyrus the Great's dominions comprised the largest empire the world had ever seen. Amen. We have spoken somewhat about the situation in the past, in the Bible codes, in videos, and so on. I'll just point something out here. It says that these codes point out in the first video, which we have here, we're going to post here, that the polls and the media lie. And that things will be revealed. Oh boy, have they ever been revealed. HC versus DT. Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump was one of the codes there found in this matrix. Wiki is found in the matrix. Leaks is found in the matrix. Assange is found in the matrix. Emails. Foundation. Clinton, Rodham, to prison, can't hide, fraud, they can't hide it now, it's too much attention been given and too many people on the inside are speaking, so, scams, rigged, to steal, I not let, you won't let them get away with it, right, treason, uncover, fired, that's one of Trump's favorite words, right? It's all there. Forgive is there, which could speak to many. Obviously, there needs to be a lot of forgiveness. And we just need to pray that God would give a lot of forgiveness in America. So there can be a time of peace to let the revival go forth, right? September is mentioned in this first code. What it's talking about, I'm not sure. But HC for Hillary Clinton loses. Prayed. I'm sure that's talking about the saints praying and God hearing their prayers. Again, you have to continue to pray for whatever the Lord shows you all the way through this thing, because this is how it's going to be won. This is Trump's army here. Right? Prayed. Elected DT for Donald Trump. Donald is found there. To delay is found there. And New World Order is found there. To delay the New World Order. As you know, the New World Order is going to come in two stages. The first 3.5 years and the second 3.5 years. But the second 3.5 years is not supposed to start with a war on the saints in the beginning. Okay? So that the New World Order is being delayed through this. Trump sees no fear to save elite. Yeah, saved from the elite, right? Murdered. And, of course, those murdered names are all recorded in the Bible codes. And we know who murdered them. The Bible codes are plain. Too bad they don't use that for evidence, right? Elect's sake. It's all happening for the elect's sake. Not just the called, but the elect. That is the chosen. Eklektos means chosen. Those days are shortened. Amen. 3 years and also a half are given. From DJT, Donald J. Trump. DT, Donald Trump, is delay. He is the delay. He will bring the delay. Elected, DT. I delay. AC is BHO. Obama. Antichrist. Yes, and yes, he is. Not the Antichrist, just Antichrist. DT trumpet. Donald Trump is the trumpet. For mercy. Yes, yes, America or the Christians don't deserve this at all. This is totally mercy. And mercy can also spark revival. And saints win. DT, win all. Win all. My goodness. That sounds like a landslide, doesn't it? Well, pray for it. Pray for it and believe God, saints. But also, so your prayers are heard, repent of any sin. Humble yourself before the Lord. This is one of the revelations we received here recently. Humble yourself before the Lord. Donald Trump chosen. DT is Prezi. Came to me. Does that mean Donald Trump came to him or will come to him? Yes, I believe that's what it's meaning, but we'll see. So, go to work, saints. The truth is there. Loud voice is there. He's got a loud voice, doesn't he? C3. End days. God's mercy. No fear. Isn't that awesome? And the saints win, and they win 3.5 years of relative peace from the attacks of the beast. Relative, I say. That's not to say that the other things that are mentioned, the natural catastrophes, the judgments, the wars, and all the things that are and will come, are not coming. They are coming. And, of course, I'm putting several videos here. One of them is all about Trump being Cyrus. And I don't think I'm going to read that one to you. Bible codes show Donald Trump as the 45th president. The Bible codes show that Donald Trump will become the 45th president of the United States of America. Donald Trump, born June 14, 1946, is an American businessman, television personality, author, and politician. He is the chairman of the Trump Organization, which is the principal holding company for his real estate ventures and other business interests. He is also the nominee of the Republican Party for President of the United States in the 2016 election. And by the way, there's somebody else, some other people in there. There's some traitor Republicans in there that take every excuse to try to take him out. Of course, I'm convinced they've got something on them. The NSA has something on them. The little island out there that the perverted Clintons and powers that be go to. They've used that to get something on people, too, in a way that they're pushing their agenda. So you need to pray against these rebellious Republicans, too. And nominee of the Republican Party for the President of the United States in the 2016 election. Analysis of Bible codes found in the books of Genesis and Isaiah show that Donald Trump will defeat Hillary Clinton for the presidency. Yeah, if you get enough words in a text like that, and if you're being honest and you ask the right questions or to try to see if either, in other words, don't make up your mind. People go in the Bible with a mind made up and they come out of there with their same old foolish doctrine that they've had all their life. But if you go in there looking for truth, it's a different situation. And I would say this particular code is really, really well founded. The words president, states, and 2017 were found encoded. The most interesting thing about the codes found in the book of Isaiah, which was discovered by the legendary Rabbi Glazerson, is that they were discovered in Isaiah chapter 45 and 1. The message reads, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand have I held." Now, why would codes about Trump be in that context? Obviously, because that's what God wants us to see as a parallel. And obviously, from reading the history of Trump, we can see that. There's some more history of Trump I didn't read you, but I may get around to that a little later. Or history of Cyrus, actually. To subdue nations before him, and to loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. Isaiah's Cyrus prophecy was made over 200 years before Cyrus was born, 576 BC to 530 BC. According to the historian Herodotus, Cyrus was the son of Cambyses I. He came to the Persian throne in 559 BC. 9 years later, he conquered the Medes, thus unifying the kingdoms of the Medes and the Persians. According to Flavius Josephus, Cyrus later conquered the Babylonians in 538 BC. Cyrus the Great was the Persian king under whom the Jewish Babylonian captivity ended. He made a decree that the temple in Jerusalem should be built and Jews can return to their land for this purpose. And of course they returned with the gold and silver. Analysis. If these codes are real and not accidental codes, then Donald Trump's presidency will be similar to a modern Cyrus of Persia. This means that Trump will become a greater friend to American Christians. That's come true. Christians worldwide and the Jews living in the Middle East, and particularly those Jews living in the land of Israel. Trump, who is a great builder, may play a significant role in facilitating the construction of the next Jewish temple in Israel. I doubt it. I think that part is just turning the letter into fact, and it's not. The name Donald originates from a Scottish and Celtic word meaning world ruler. The name Trump means victory or triumphant. The name Trump is also associated with the word for trumpet. A few eschatology researchers speculate that the Lord may rapture his church. I doubt it. During the successful presidential administration of Donald Trump. I really doubt it. No, it's a fact. It's not going to happen. Or during the administration of a future American president named Trump. No, I don't think so either. Only time will reveal if this speculation about Donald Trump is truth. Right? I believe it doesn't take time to do that. You just have to read the Bible. Make sure you discover when the rapture actually happens. So anyway. Finally, whoever becomes the 45th president of the United States of America must do four things. First, the president must not divide the land of Israel, because God will have to judge any leader who seeks to divide his land. Second, the president must cleanse the nation of corrupt judges. I don't believe that Trump's election will precede, or his taking office will precede, the tribulation. I believe that the division of Israel and the land is going to happen very quickly. And I believe it will be before he takes office. And that the earthquakes themselves will take out Belshazzar or Obama. And that seems to fit. And, of course, at that time, Trump takes office. He must select righteous, God-fearing judges to U.S. Supreme Court. Third, the president must protect the most vulnerable citizens in America, which are the unborn, boys and girls inside the womb. I believe he'll do that. And fourth, the president must promote the traditional family led by a man and a woman, because children have a right to a father and a mother. Oh, very good. And so true. We need to pray, saints. We need to pray. I'm going to share Nita Johnson's revelation concerning Donald Trump. The message, or excerpt, by Nita Johnson, a prophetess sent to her mailing list on March the 4th, 2016. 4 years ago, the Lord spoke to me and told me that in the next election, he would put Osiris in the White House. In fact, he said that the mantle would flow out to many, and they would do the work to galvanize the people to liberate America. And that's true. Of course, many people have raised up to, on the political front, to bring many things out about the total corruption of Hillary Clinton and Obama. I believe he will do this if we will pray. And yes, and it's already a fact that prayers have been answered, but there's more work to do. And also, in order for your prayers to be heard, there should be confession of sin, right? Everywhere I went, I shared the vision of the Lord. I have had several dreams and visions about Donald Trump, and each time he seemed to come out of nowhere to take on the establishment. And then it began to happen. Well, amen. If you want Osiris, that will turn America back to the land of promise and deal with the high-level wickedness, you must look for the one who is anointed for this purpose, Donald Trump. It's the mantle of Cyrus that will do the work. The man simply will be a tool in God's lofty and wise hands. I agree. And I also agree you can't make a saint out of Trump at this time. Okay? If he was, he wouldn't be eligible for office, because God said he sets up over men the basest of men. And Cyrus set the people of God free to go to their promised land and to rebuild. Cyrus, of course, wasn't one of God's people, but he was impressed that the God of Israel knew his name, which was written in Scripture long before, and he was prophesied to redirect the Euphrates River in order to conquer Babylon, and he would be God's anointed to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple, according to Isaiah 44 and 45. So, this is another, I believe, proof. You know, at first I began to offer alternatives here, because there were many prophesying, of course, that and still do, that Obama will stay in office. And there's many things on the horizon that could make that happen if God permitted it. And of course, the economic collapse is one. I believe the dominoes have started over in Germany. Of course, Germany was also weakened by Greece and so on and so forth, but I believe the dominoes have started. I believe that they're attempting to make a world war, and of course, Obama would not go out if they were able to make a world war. I believe from dreams that this is not going to be a pre-trib war. I believe that the second seal, the red horse rider, is going to bring that world war. But right now, I don't think it's going to happen. I believe, I don't give any credit to Obama and Hillary. I believe they might be trying to make it happen, but not look guilty. There's a lot of stuff out there now that's blaming them for this, and this is the only thing I think that has headed that off. There's a lot of information blaming those two, because they've been just war after war after war. Killing people is not anything they have a problem with. They've got the same spirit, but for different reasons. So that's another thing. I mean, you know, you don't change presidents in the middle of a war like that. You just don't. So, you know, there's several reasons why, you know, this could happen if God wanted it to happen. But I do believe the Lord wants us to pray that it doesn't happen. And Trump may... I'm going to go back to what... she was saying, Nita was saying, she said, Trump may have need of grace in particular areas. Nevertheless, he is not evil like those of the shadow government. I agree. He will cause many of their tall and lofty mountains to fall. That's awesome. I watched, somebody sent me a video of a man who was a Satanist, inhabited by Satan. He was part of the elite. They gained their power by having sex with and sacrificing young children. He was one of them, and he was sent by Satan to try to make peace between them and the people, because they feared a French-type revolution where these people would be cut down. And they fear Trump. They fear what he's doing. They probably fear to even kill him. I know that they've wanted that threat to get through to him to try to make him back down, but he hasn't backed down. And even the Russians believed it was a good possibility that they would kill him. But I think they're afraid to do that because of what might rise up. This French Revolution type thing. You know, these people are total perverts, total Satanists, the lowest of the low. And so she went on to say, I promise you, as God is through Trump doing that very thing. Trump is like a bull out of the pen. He sees red and he heads for the target. He is as fearless as a lion being robbed of its cubs. With the mantle of Cyrus and the qualities God gave him, Trump will achieve as much as we, through our prayers, make a way for him to accomplish. Well, amen. So I say, here at local UBM, we are fasting and praying for him. And we're coming against the powers of darkness. And I believe that that's part of Trump's army, to help him. And she goes on to say, it will take the whole team fighting for this nation for us to win the war. For our modern day Cyrus to achieve God's design, he will need more than just desire. He will need solid prayer covering and divine enablement. Yes, I agree 100%. And the Lord told me it is Trump's place now. One more thing is needed, I think, and that's repentance of a multitude of God's people. We must have the John the Baptist revival to succeed now. I'm not positive that the John the Baptist is just a group of physical men rather than a spirit that is coming. We'll see. I'm not trying to be firm on that at all, but we'll see. And I shared with you one time why I thought that God was using a lot of people that might even be part of the man-child ministry to be John the Baptist. John said, I must decrease and he must increase, and the fact that Jesus started out speaking the exact same words John the Baptist ended up with, I think is very, very important. Anyway, it could be. And the Lord spoke this word to Pastor T.D. Hale on February the 1st, 2016. He said, the body of Christ is divided. And not only are they divided, they are torn in their minds and are in a state of confusion. And because of the confusion, they will elect a madman. Well, I got to say, Trump's pretty rough around the edges, whose heart is full of lies and unstable. It's true. The Bible code that speaks about him coming to me could possibly help all that. It couldn't be a public thing or nobody vote for him, obviously. So he is real rough. A man of deception who speaks those words that sound as if truth, but underneath it is lies to gain the people's trust. Yes, I believe there's some of that there too. Trump will win the nomination and win the presidency. That's what he said. Trump will win the nomination and win the presidency. Obama has laid a path of destruction, but because of the heartfelt prayers and tears of repentance, intercession, destruction has been diverted for a season. But it is not the will of the Lord to see destruction, terror, and judgment. A premature season is upon the land because the people refused to heed the voices of the prophets, watchmen, handmaidens, servants, with a tender heart. And I'm sure that what the Lord spoke to me in the beginning, the premature season, is the destruction of Christianity through Obama, which shouldn't come until the second 3.5 years of the tribulation, when the beast makes war on the saints. Remember, Ken Dewey also said that Obama wouldn't finish his term. It appears that somewhere just before he hands over the reins, something will happen. According to this, an earthquake. I hear this word in my spirit coming forth, and I know it's a word to all who have ears to hear and eyes to see, that they may know and understand the coming events. Obama will not finish out his term as President of the United States, but he will be remembered and endeared by his Muslim friends. There's a lot of real positive things out there about Trump that I just never have used because It's false revival people. They have false prophetic people, some people call them. And it's because of evil spirits that they have, that I don't take anything that they have, even if they say something that is relatively right. The full restoration of America will not be possible, considering what the book of Revelation has to say happens in the first 3.5 years. That's going to be a downward trend. It's not going down as fast as it would with Obama in office, for sure. But at least there'll be some relative peace for the people of God. They're not going to be made war on, and they can seek God and seek to get the gospel out quickly. Obviously, this first 3.5 years of the trib is going to be a time of getting the gospel out. Jesus was able to do that. You know, the beast wasn't making war on him at that time. He was able to do that for that 3.5 years. And his disciples went out. The apostles went out. And so on. And, of course, we've had dreams and visions of this Holy Spirit revival and escape. And I think it's just awesome what God is promising them. I'm encouraged. And also, he's going to make a way for God's people to go into the wilderness and provide their needs. And I believe that's going to happen very quickly. Maybe about the time Obama's taken out and Cyrus or Trump is put in. We'll see. But either way, I think we have something to rejoice about. And I do believe when Trump does go in, and I believe he will, I believe that when he does go in, there will be great, great rejoicing in this nation. Because more and more people are revealing or having revelation of who these people are. And this has brought it all out. I mean, like those Bible codes said, that the hidden things were going to be revealed. And my goodness, there's a lot of Christians out there that haven't had the foggiest idea what is happening to this nation or the invasion that's happening here, and what the purpose of that invasion is. They haven't had an idea of that. Now they're getting their eyes open because they're out there looking concerning this Trump situation, and they're seeing all this stuff. Anybody that's on the internet. And let me say this too, that, you know, television is locked up. I mean, totally locked up. The enemy has it totally. And when Trump and Pence get in these debates, this is the only time that a lot of people who have TV but don't have internet or not internet savvy or don't, you know, spend a lot of time on it, this is the only time they're going to find out what's going on. And, of course, they can't be caught in the situation of just defending themselves. I haven't watched one of these yet, but I heard that Pence did a very good job of changing the subject and getting things out there. And that's because this is the only time a lot of people who would vote for Hillary are going to hear the truth. So they have to do that. They have to say, just be very brief about the attacks and say, nope, don't believe that. And then go on and start putting the stuff out there. And we need to pray for them not to get distracted or self-defensive in any way, because that's just wasting that valuable time to get the truth out there. So, Father, we just ask you, Lord, to make a way. Make a way, Father. Make a way. Hinder the enemy confound and confuse the enemy. Lord, I believe Trump is going out tonight with two very liberal people controlling the media there. And we just ask you, Lord, to anoint him to not get caught up in defending self, but get caught up in revealing the truth, what's going on, why these things are happening, why America's going down the drain, etc., etc. The important things he needs to get out. This is his only opportunity to reach those people that, as I say, don't do internet much, but they do watch TV. So, Lord, we just ask you, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would keep him focused and anoint him to speak to the people, because I know that the American people are about 90% more conservative than the news people. So, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you get that voice out and that you hinder all the hindrances and that you reveal all of the sly microphone situation and folders being passed around of the questions that were obviously given to Hillary before the debate. These kinds of things, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you, through Trump, be in control of the situation. And we just thank you for doing it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Ken Dewey said, on May the 27th, 2015, he said, "The silence will be golden. I received this word earlier this morning around 3 a.m. He began talking by saying to me, 'I am going to turn some things around.' Here is exactly what he said. Underground things are moving around. Things that have been stable for thousands of years will again move. This shifting will cause the outer crust of the earth to again shake violently." So now, here's a guy that is prophesying that Trump will be taken out in a earthquake that takes down D.C., and he's still talking about these earthquakes. So he's not saying this has been done away with at all. And I'm not either. I don't believe it. I asked the Lord, and I believe he told me that part will not be taken away. It's still going to happen. It's going to be a great shaking. It's going to cause a great revival. It's going to turn people to the Lord at a very good time. And I believe it will be an overwhelming turn towards Trump. When people repent, the Spirit of God in them just turns them away from the wicked. So, this outer crust of the earth to again shake violently. It is in the earth already, but you must know I could fix it and stabilize it and subdue it, but for a moment I will turn away my face from it and will allow it. I haven't wanted it to happen, but it seems I have no choice now because you have taken it from my hands, and you will get your choices. You will receive the fruit of your ways. Of course, he's speaking to a certain people. He's not speaking to all people, but he's speaking to a certain people who need revival, who need repentance, right? Washington, D.C. will dance and then fall. Men will frantically search the rubble, looking for their leaders. This nation will go down to rise different than when it fell. I will stop them short of their plans. I will be in the White House. I will be in the ruins making sure the right men arise. I am definitely going to turn things around. I will shut the mouth of the arrogant, and the silence will be golden." Boy, there is some arrogance up there. My goodness. Jesus Christ. Amen. And that, by the way, the Extinction Protocol did speak of the very same thing on May the 5th of 2016. His prophecy was 2015, but That was 2016. They spoke of the very same thing. And they had on May the 5th, a graphic there showing the New Madrid, the East Tennessee, the South Carolina seismic zones that stretch across the South from Midwest to the East Coast. And they spoke of the geology there. A new study found pieces of the mantle under this region have been periodically breaking off and sinking down into the earth. This thins and weakens the remaining plate, making it more prone to slipping than causes earthquakes. The study authors conclude that this process is ongoing and likely to produce more earthquakes in the future. Our idea supports the view that this seismicity will continue due to an unbalanced stresses in the plate. And I guess they're not really planning on Planet X either, right? A seismologist at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and lead author of the new study, Burke Birrell. The seismic zones that are active will continue to be active for some time. The study was published in the Journal of Geophysical Research, Solid Earth, a journal of the American Geophysical Union. Based on distinct variations in the geometry and thickness of the lithospheric mantle and foundered lithosphere, we propose that piecemeal delamination has occurred beneath the region throughout the Cenozoic, removing a significant amount of reworked deformed mantle lithosphere, the team wrote. What they mean by delamination is it's like plywood, you know, it's different layers stuck together. And they're coming apart. Like if you threw a piece of plywood out there in the rain and the rain got to it, you'd begin to see that, them coming apart. What they're saying is it's falling into the core and thinning the mantle. Compared to earthquakes near plate boundaries, earthquakes in the middle of plates are not well understood, and the hazards they pose are difficult to quantify. The new findings could help scientists better understand the dangers these earthquakes present. Today, the southeastern United States is more than 1,056 miles from the nearest edge of the North American plate, which covers all of North America, Greenland, and parts of the Atlantic and Arctic Oceans. But the region was built over the past billion years by, that's their numbers, not mine, by periods of accretion when new material is added to a plate and rifting when plates split apart. Researchers initially suspected ancient fault lines or pieces of old plates extending deep into the mantle following episodes of accretion and rifting could be responsible for earthquakes in the area. This region has not been active for a long time, Birrell said, but the shapes and locations of the thick and thin regions suggested a different explanation. Through past rifting and accretion, areas of the North American plate have become more dense and were pulled downward into the mantle through gravity. At certain times, the densest part broke off from the plate and sank into the warm asthenosphere below. The asthenosphere, being lighter and more buoyant, surged in to fill the void created by the missing pieces of mantle, eventually cooling to become the thin, young rock in the images. The researchers concluded this process is likely what causes earthquakes in this otherwise stable region. When the pieces of the mantle break off, the plate above them becomes thinner and more prone to slip along ancient fault lines. And typically, the thicker the plate, the stronger it is and less likely to produce earthquakes. According to Birial, pieces of the mantle have most likely been breaking off from underneath the plate since at least, 65 million years ago. I don't believe that. Because the researchers found fragments of hard rocks at shallow depths, this process is still ongoing and likely to continue into the future, potentially leading to more earthquakes in the region. Well, he doesn't say anything about what we know is going to happen. And that is a cracking up of the plate. And we just had one over in the Indonesian area, a plate crack in half. So it can happen. And I believe it's probably the only way that the North American plate, the craton, is going to split. And also on the east side, where the craton goes around and comes back across, goes across the south and goes back up to the northwest, that's where a lot of the movement has been happening. So anyway, we see a place going up across the northeast from west to east where there could be a crack in the plate, and also from the Great Lakes all the way down to the Gulf through the Mississippi River Valley could be another place where the plate cracks. And, of course, that could divide the nation and do quite a bit towards making us not as strong a nation as could be. Travel will be made hard. We have a revelation like that on the site, that travel will be made hard. Not only because of this kind of fracturing of the plate, but also because of martial law and things like that that normally happen in certain areas whenever you have that. Again, I don't believe that the martial law for the purpose of making war on the Christians is necessarily going to succeed. But I do believe martial law for the purpose of disasters is going to happen. We'll see. God is good and He is merciful. And, well, Father, we just pray, Lord, that You do a quick work here. We would like people's eyes to be opened. We'd like to see that revival of repentance, real, heartfelt repentance go forth, Lord. We know that You've told us over and over that this shaking that is coming is going to be part of that. It will put the fear of God back in people. And obviously the war against the saints of the nation itself would only be a temporary thing at this point because it doesn't start till the middle of the tribulation. So, Father, we just thank You for thwarting everything that the enemy puts forward. We thank You for casting down everything that the enemy puts forward. We ask You instead to send a revival of Your gifts, the outpouring of Your Spirit, that multitudes come into the kingdom. This will make a great change. I know it's a temporary change because when people come into the kingdom, they still need to go to their cross. And I believe, Lord, that from the great revival that's going to happen in the first 3.5 years, the second 3.5 years will be a cross. And definitely the beast putting the saints on the cross. Everybody's got to go there. I believe the bride and the man-child have been there for more than 3.5 years. And God's doing His work on them and getting them ready as a first fruits. But the fruit that's going to come from the man, child, and bride, and the revival, these people are going to have knowledge to be able to stand up to the beast and the harlot. They'll have 3.5 years to do that, I believe. And then, well, the war will go forth. And they will begin to, you know, receive through crucifixion what is needed in their lives. Some people, knowledge is not enough. They need to be pushed into a place where they fear God enough that they will turn away from their sins. It doesn't happen necessarily all of a sudden. But I believe God has designed this whole world to create sons of God. And glory be to God, He's going to do it. And these steps that the first fruits have gone through are also the steps that the last fruits are going to go through. The same things, knowledge and crucifixion. And of course, the beast has to be ready to do its job. And it will be by the middle of the tribulation period. It will be ready. And God will anoint it. Send it forth, just like He will His servants. The gospel right now needs to go forth with a wave of repentance. We need our John the Baptist revival, and we need our man-child revival to get the church back on track to bring forth the kingdom. Build the kingdom. Build the temple. The temple, the blocks even aren't even put together. And they wouldn't be put together under the Saul ministries, that wouldn't happen. So we are coming to the place where the rebuilding of the kingdom is something that Trump will be a part of, bringing about the right atmosphere for that, the rebuilding of the kingdom. Money sent towards the people of God to provide for them in the wilderness, etc. So, Father, we just thank You, Lord. I know that this global currency revaluation is something that the elite desire badly in order to have their one world order and their one world economic system and so on and so forth. And I believe it will come. And part of it is this will cause, I believe, a lot of money to go into the hands of Christians for the purpose of rebuilding the kingdom, getting the word out in a very quick way. We've had dreams. In fact, I think there's at least one of them on our site about the way the Lord is going to distribute our materials all over the United States and the world. And He's revealed a rather supernatural way to do that. Also, I wasn't talking about this when I said that, but also we have witnesses on there where books were taken and God multiplied them and put them in places that they wouldn't have naturally got. People took so many books with them and they kept pulling books and books and books out of their drawer and out of their bag and had three times as many books given away as what they took. So that's just God. It's God. So God can do supernatural things, and I need you to pray for that, saints. We need to pray that the word get out. And I believe this Trump situation and the revealing of the real evil that has been the government, I mean, the patriotism of people, and even Christians, is such that they don't believe things you tell them. And they even get offended because of that patriotic spirit. But when more and more gets revealed, they begin to understand that they're here in the devil's hands and they're in captivity. And they need to be freed. And they need the Word of God to stand up to the things that are coming. And Father, we just ask you, Lord, to reveal to your people the real desire and the real need that you have for them to return to original Christianity. Father, we pray that they understand and they see that these are the things that are going to keep them in the days to come. That this idolatry with apostate Christianity, which is not Christianity, has kept them from understanding the supernatural power of God and provision of God to save them in the situations that are coming. So Lord, we ask you to reveal that to them, that this need is there. It's major. And that you, through the shakings, through the political situation, you're going to bring a lot of people to the Lord. God, we praise you for this. We praise you for this mercy. It is abundantly above all we can ask or think. We pray that you will put a desire to pray in the hearts of your people. Many people don't pray because they've never seen any real fruit from it, because they don't know what faith is. And without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God, much less receive answers to prayer. But when they see that people do get answers to prayer, they get encouraged. I've seen it myself. I've seen this encouragement come over people when they see people acting in faith, speaking in faith, believing the Word of God, and receiving answers to their prayers. And Lord, I remember years ago when I was working at Exxon that we had a Bible study at lunch, and all people from all different Christian religious backgrounds came to those. And the most exciting thing was that these dead denominational people, when they saw the answers to prayers, they were so encouraged to pray. They wouldn't even think about going to a prayer meeting because they had no encouragement that God answered prayers. They didn't know why, but they just thought it was going out in a bunch of hot air going out there, you know. But they were so encouraged that they prayed. They were happy. They were excited to come and meet, even from the different backgrounds. And soon, because of that prayer, so many of them became one with one another that none of their denominational lines hindered them anymore. And I just thought it was a tremendous miracle that we were watching happen there. And I really praise God for it, Lord. And I know that you gave me that experience so that I could understand how it can happen on a much larger scale. So, Lord, we just ask you, Father, that during these tumultuous times when people pray, that you show them the answers to their prayers. You reveal to them, Lord, that their prayers are being heard. That you reveal to them what faith is and how it works, and how that we must walk in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is walking in faith in the Word of God. We ask you, Lord, to do this for your people. We ask you for this wave of repentance that you so often have started revivals with in the past, this wave of repentance. People crying out to God, seeing their lost estate, even lost Christians. Lord, you said you weren't sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. For goodness sake, what are they doing lost? Well, they are. They are. I'm talking about New Testament spiritual Israel, those who are supposed to be circumcised in heart. They're lost, and they need to know that they're lost. They need to know that they need you, Lord. I just ask you for this supernatural gift, this wave of repentance. Like I said, that has started so many revivals in the past, real revivals in the past. Well, Lord, we pray for this. We ask for your mercy. We ask for an outpouring of your grace. We ask, O Lord, that you begin this all over the world. Lord, I don't think we have a whole lot of time left, and we just pray that you will send forth the spirit of John the Baptist and let people see what he saw, and that is their lost estate, their need for God. Lord, we praise you for doing this. And again, we're not worthy, but we know that you're gracious. You're a very merciful God. And Father, we just ask in the name of Jesus that you'd make a way for gospel materials to go throughout the earth, and that God's people would become excited by the witnesses of other Christians, and the people would may have a way to get the word out to others. We just thank you, Father, for doing it in this miraculous way, Father. And in the name of Jesus, Father, we just receive a mighty move of your Spirit. We stand firm on it. We put our trust in you that it's going to happen. And we just give praise to you, Father. Oh, God, we praise you. We thank you so much. I was asking last night, as a matter of fact, if the Lord was going to give authority to his man-child to be like Joseph, Daniel, and David. I was asking him if he was going to give authority with the president like Joseph and Daniel did. And when this happened, I just happened to turn to look at the clock, and it was turning from 3:32 to 3:33. Just as I looked at it, turned from 3:32 to 3:33. And I heard Jeremiah 33:2-3. And it says, "Thus saith the Lord that doeth it, the Lord that formeth it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me," this is 3:33, "call unto me, and I will answer thee, and will show thee great things and difficult, which thou knowest not." Oh boy, awesome. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great things." So, I believe that the Lord was saying to me, yes, this is going to happen. That the Josephs, Daniels, Davids, you know, will be heard. Their authority will be manifested through the government that's coming. And actually, Daniel was there speaking to Belshazzar when he was on his way out, telling him, warning him of what was going to happen. And I have no doubt that that will happen too. That happened just before, of course, Cyrus showed up. In fact, the last rebuke that Daniel gave to Belshazzar happened on the night that he died, and Cyrus took over. And the people rejoiced and gave thanks. And I do believe people all over the world who are not nearly as left-wing and murderous as the administration we have now would also rejoice greatly. They'd rejoice greatly if this thing happened. Now, I know a lot of them didn't think that way in the beginning. They wanted change. They just didn't realize what kind of change they were going to get. War after war, going through the Middle East, tearing up nations that used to be, you know, at least at peace with us. And the cause, actually, of the nations turning against Israel is because, the Bible said in Jeremiah 25, they were mad because of what Babylon did to stir the pot and cause all these wars. They were angry. They were angry, you know. So, that's the cause of them coming against America, ultimately. And, well, Father, we thank you, we praise you. We ask you to draw your people unto you, Lord. You said here that if we call unto you, you will answer. And you'll show us these great and mighty things. Lord, I know you're raising up the Josephs and the Daniels to be a leadership for God's people, even with the government, in the days ahead. And I believe that's what you showed me right there. It's a done deal, and I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Father. We praise you. And by the way, the next verse that we got was from Judy, and she had Psalm 89. And I'm just going to read 8 through 29 here. O Lord, God of hosts, who is a mighty one like unto thee, O Lord, and thy faithfulness is round about thee. Thou rulest the pride of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. I believe that's what the Lord's doing now. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with the arm of thy strength. Yes, Lord, we thank you for doing it. Thank you for sinking Pharaoh in the sea, Lord. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine, the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon, rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of thy throne. Loving kindness and truth go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name do they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness are they exalted, for thou art the glory of their strength. And in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For our shield belongeth unto the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. Amen. Then thou spakest in vision to thy saints, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, and with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact from him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his adversaries before him, and smite them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my loving kindness shall be with him. And in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also on the sea, and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. I also will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My loving kindness will keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Yes, amen. And thank you so much, Father, for raising up these Josephs and Davids to be a leadership for your people. These Daniels. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father.